Welcome back, college basketball fans, to another Hoops HD Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica and David Griggs tonight. And it is Thursday, December 12th. We're recording this around 9 o'clock p.m. on another action-packed evening of college basketball tonight.
But on the bright side, at least 90% of the exams and papers should be done by now.
Which I've said that on Twitter earlier. I don't understand what exams have to do with basketball. I mean, it's all about the students, and all students would rather be watching college basketball than taking exams. We need to get rid of exam week.
You realize North Carolina took that a little too literally, don't you, Puppet?
Yeah, but what's the problem? Look how good they are. I mean,
well, this is our Under the Radar podcast. We're not supposed to be talking about North Carolina or this Iowa State game where watching while we record this. What are we supposed to be talking about, David?
Well, it's the 10 regular single bid leagues, essentially. That's what Under the Radar is. The other qualifier is teams that are not in the top 25. I said that wrong. It's the 22 regular single bid leagues. There's 10 regular multi-bid leagues. It's the Power 5, which is the Big 10, Big 12, Pac 12, SEC, and ACC, and plus five more regular multi-bid leagues. The Big East, the American, the Atlantic 10, the West Coast, and the Mountain West. Got them all that time.
All right. This is the first time ever.
Right, I think it is. And these are the 22 conferences that are not those.
Right. And some people call these mid-majors. We don't. We start out with a feature conference each week, then we go through the rest of them in alphabetical order. But I mentioned the word mid-major. John, you noted this, I think, earlier this season. The good people over at collegeinsider.com do a mid-major top 25 each week, and there was one conference that specifically asked to be exempted out of that. Am I correct?
That is correct, and that would be the friendly folks over at Conference USA.
So I don't know what they are. If they are under the radar, they not mid major, are mid major, whatever they are. For our purposes, though,
they are a regular singular bid league.
They're under the radar, David.
They're under the radar.
But yeah,
CUSA, if they want out of that, I hope they ask us to let us out of under the radar, because my response will be, okay, start sending two teams to the tournament every year.
We are going to focus on CUSA. I mean, I guess they did this new scheduling format starting last year to try to get there within conference play, where they're only going to play the first 12 games pre-scheduled, then the last four or the last six are you go into these groups of five or four teams, and the top five playing each other, and the next five playing each other.
It's first 14 games.
The first 14, sorry, 14, and then the last four are the bonus play, I think they call them. I didn't get them a second team last year, so I don't know. Well, I guess we've got to give it a few years for that experiment. But yeah, the big news out of CUSA for this past week happened at Western Kentucky, though. Real shame, this team that we were so high on this season, and Charles Bassey gone for the season, though, David.
Yeah, and that, I mean, this was a Western Kentucky team that we thought might be good enough to land inside the bubble, and then suddenly, while they're a regular one-bid league, they may have been in a position to get more than one this year. You hate that for him. You hate that for his team. You hate that for those fans. Because, again, first of all, for the injury, but, yeah, this team really could have been something, and now are they just going to be another regular – also ran type of team this year?
Yeah, already losses to Bowling Green and Wright State. Nothing really left, John, in terms of non-conference schedule. Belmont at home at Rhode Island, and then you see that conference play, which again is four games short because those last four will be determined later on in the season.
Well, the good news, at least as far as Rhode Island, it does give them one more road test before entering CUSA. And Belmont, they've not been as dominant as they were last year, but still should be a pretty good home test for the Hilltoppers here. Right.
The other team that we want to talk about, only with one loss of the season, even though they've only played three of their six wins, a bit not D1, but UTEP had out to a 6-1 start, game at Houston coming up, and followed by a trip to the Diamond Head, David. So, maybe UTEP has something. They did beat both New Mexico and New Mexico State already.
Yes, at home. You'll notice their loss. It's their only road game, and it was not all that close. I'm not, okay, when I say I'm not sold on UTEP, I'm not sold on them as being the conference front runner. I am sold on them as being very much improved and having a lot of energy back around a program that used to have a lot of support and energy that hasn't for the last couple of years. But I still don't like them. There's a team that I hope we're going to talk about. I know that they sort of stubbed their toe in their last game, but Louisiana Tech has impressed me quite a bit.
Okay, let's talk a little Louisiana Tech because they have been impressive and maybe as impressive as anybody. Let me go ahead and pull their profile up here on the left side of the screen, David. You want to give them a little shout-out here?
Yeah, as soon as it loads. There so, it I mean, the big State. Signature win was that win at Mississippi State, and it was – They essentially controlled the entire game, at least the entire second half. They didn't, the losses to Indiana at Indiana, who's unbeaten at home, and at Creighton, these are teams that are going to win a lot of games. The one that really kind of made you scratch your head was the game right after the big win at Mississippi State, and that's the loss to a fairly mediocre Sam Houston State team. But all in all, like, they've handled their business. They've looked good when I've seen them. I did not see the Sam Houston State game. Maybe I wouldn't be.
I did see that game, and I was not impressed with them, especially coming off of that. I mean, I guess you have that letdown after the big win, but still it was disappointing. And John, let me ask you also here, though, that you look at the rest of their schedule, there's not going to be any more chances, at least non-conference, that Louisiana, NC Central, and in their final season of existence in athletics, Southern New Orleans coming in.
Yeah, I know you had touched on that, but I thought they had already suspended their season.
They will play out the season. Southern University of New Orleans, a D3. They're NAIA actually.
They're NAIA.
Yeah, but they after the season's over, they're getting rid of all athletic programs. Real shame down there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as far as Louisiana Tech goes, it just means you're looking to not stub your toes before you go into conference play, where they strangely enough open up with the home and home against their travel partner in Southern Miss.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a strange start there to the conference play.
Conference USA, do they, looking at the schedule here, do they do the travel partners on the bookends still? No, they don't.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's I mean, Louisiana Tech, like you say, they're, like John said, they're the travel partners there to start the season. UTEP, on the other hand, splits the travel partner up during the season, so I don't know what's going on in this conference.
I don't either.
David, I have another issue I wanted to bring up with you, though, with regard to Conference USA, and I think it's pretty appropriate now that we're watching a big rivalry game, non-conference rivalry game tonight here, Iowa State. Can you answer a question for me? How many Division I teams are there in the city of San Antonio, Texas?
Two, isn't it? It's yes. UTSA and Incarnate Word.
UTSA and Incarnate Word. Only two Division I teams in the city of San Antonio, Texas. The two teams actually played on the football field this year, believe it or not, in an FBS versus FCS game there. The women's teams have played. Incarnate Word has been Division I now for seven seasons. You don't know how many times UTSA and Incarnate Word have played each other in men's basketball during those 7 years?
I got to be honest, Chad. I don't like admitting not knowing something. I thought that was a fixture game. I thought they played every year.
David, you know how many times they've played in those 7 years?
I'm guessing zero. Since
zero. It up. Absolutely zero. I got a problem here, David.
I did not know they did not play. I'm serious. I thought they played every year.
They have not played yet. I went back through, looked every single season the last 7 years. The two teams have yet to play against each other while they've both been Division I.
Well, this is ridiculous.
This is it's the Battle of the Alamo. I mean, you have a name for this game.
The Alamo Battle. I mean, and it's New Orleans. I mean, who else are they playing that anyone cares? That would be fun for the city. They play in pretty much everything. They played even during the transitional years in football.
Yes,
they played.
They played this season in football. The women's team played. But look at this here, David. UTSA, instead of playing Incarnate Word, right here, December 28th, they're playing another team from San Antonio. They're playing Our Lady of the Lake. That's what they're doing instead of playing Incarnate Word. They're playing Our Lady of the Lake.
I don't know what to say.
I know what to say. Under the radar, game of the day.
Yeah. Under the radar, game of the
Lake. Yeah.
We've got a serious issue I got to take up with the San Antonio Roadrunners. I think we need a new campaign here. We need a battle of the Alamo.
Yeah, we need a battle in the Alamo.
We need this battle next season. This better be resolved.
Yes. No, I'm serious, Chad. I thought they played every year.
They have not played yet. I could be wrong. I looked through seven schedules for Incarnate Word and UTSA. Did not see that game since Incarnate Word went D1. Oh. Since they started the transition to D1 even.
Right, yeah.
But that's my piece for the day. Let's go to another conference. Let's look at the upcoming schedule in Conference USA. We didn't show that yet. Other than Our Lady of the Lake versus UTSA, there is Louisiana Tech, like you mentioned, is hosting Louisiana this week.
Kind of a fun rivalry there. I know it's more of a football rivalry, but they get at it in basketball too, at least when both teams are good. This year, only one of them is.
And then UTEP has that big game at Houston coming up next Thursday. That's another one you kind of circle coming up here the next week. But over in the America East, where Salika, let me ask you a little bit about the America East. I don't think we've given up on Vermont, but I think we may have given up on their at-large chances after now sitting there with four losses on the season.
Given up on their at-large chances and sliding further and further down our top 10. But by the same token, if you're looking at another team in Stony Brook, also a bit of a disappointment for them as they dropped the battle for Long Island against Hofstra.
And that was a good game. That's been a good series for years now, David, and that's a fun
game. Yeah, it is. Another good one the other night, the UMBC
Towson
game. Thank you. I'm still stupefied.
Look at that. Two teams in the same city playing each other. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, we have the battle of Riverside. We have the battle of Lowell. We need the battle of the Alamo. I'm still stupefied by that. But two really good rivalry games. Both those games going on at the same time. And at the time they were being played, they were clearly the best games to watch.
Yeah, they were, I think. The upcoming schedule of the America East, Vermont this week is hosting UNC Greensboro in a thrilling game Wednesday night. Sleek, I assume that's going to be under the radar game of the day on next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, it's certainly going to be a leading candidate for it.
That's a great win.
Yeah, so I'm circling that game. That may be the game of the week under the radar, quite honestly. Yeah. But David, let me stick with you here. I'll go over to the Atlantic Sun, where we have the lone undefeated team left among the under-the-radar conferences here.
Yeah, you notice that – I know they haven't started conference play yet, and I know Liberty has not, lifted some of the heavy weight that other teams in the conference have. This is about what the conference standings will look like once conference play does begin, Liberty finishing about five games in front of everybody else. So much better than everybody else. If you pull up their profile, I know we do it every week. It's pretty much a pastry cart. They did get challenged a little bit at Grand Canyon getting the win there. And then when you look at kind of what they have coming up at Vandy, I know that Vandy is an SEC school, but they're an SEC school team with a weak basketball team that isn't as good as Liberty. I would expect them to win that. I think they'll beat Towson, and the LSU game is interesting. But other than that, Liberty might not lose all year long. They might finish the season because – okay, maybe when they go on the road, somebody will play out of their minds and beat them in conference. But they are so – like you're talking about, Chad, a top 40 caliber team against sub-NIT by a long shot caliber teams once they get in the A-Sun play.
Yeah, just a quick note on the schedule there. I just wanted to confirm this here. But that Towson game is the first game of the of a four-team bracketed event down in D.C. They will get either Akron or Tulane as well after the Towson before LSU.
Yeah, and Akron and Tulane. Akron
will be a very interesting game because I do like this Akron team, what they've done so far this season. Upcoming schedule this week, though, at least in the A-Sun, it's about Liberty and nothing but Liberty, and they're at Vanderbilt, as we mentioned. So let's just keep things moving right on along here. And John, let me ask you a little bit about the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, the Big Sky, we keep an eye on Sacramento State, who's still off to their best start, at least as far as the D1 era goes. And sure enough, they do get the win at Cal State Fullerton.
Good, not many games, but a good week for the Big Sky, only one loss, quite honestly. But, I think we really got to start looking ahead here when we get to conference play in the Big Sky. But as far as this week goes, David, we're going to see But where are we here with
regards to Sac State? We're Portland State at Portland Bible College tonight. You want to see teams from the same city playing each other?
Sac State is at Santa Clara.
An interesting one.
And then they host Cal Poly, Montana at Oregon on Wednesday. Montana has been kind of disappointing, though.
Yeah.
A little very strange here to see Montana and Weber State down among the bottom four teams in the conference.
It kind of is. It's a little bit upside down. And then how about Idaho exceeding expectations so far?
Yeah, 1D, 1 win. That's more than we thought they would get.
Right, yeah.
Especially after they did their exhibition season by losing two non-D1 games.
By a lot.
Yeah. They were only exhibitions. They don't count. David, over in the Big South Conference, Campbell, we've been kind of surprised by this team so far this season, the way they've played without Chris Clemens, and we expected them to take a big hit, and they haven't.
And if you've seen teams in this conference play, I know like Charleston Southern had a really good moment out at Mizzou, but Campbell, in my opinion, has consistently looked better than all of them. One of the teams I kind of want to talk about, but not in a – well, okay, let's stay focused on Campbell. Let's pull them up. Much better than expected, much – better, at least so far, than what anybody else in the league has shown. I know that their schedule has not been ridiculously tough, but, I mean, it hasn't exactly been a pastry cart either. You know, winning at Coastal, that's not exactly easy. Winning at Gulf Coast, that's not bad. And their losses, they were kind of in both of those games. So far I like them more than anybody else, but like,
I think these next four games are interesting. At East Carolina, at Ohio, these are both winnable road games against quality teams.
I mean, yeah, they are.
Well, at least Ohio is a quality team. I don't know about East Carolina. But. Yeah.
Right. But what has happened to Winthrop? They had that nice, real big win out at St. Mary's, and that followed a really strong showing out at Fresno State, who right now is looking weaker than we thought they would, but they seem to be a pretty good team, and they have not done anything since then, which is kind of surprising. Pat Kelsey, really good coach. They've just looked awful.
They have four wins. One of them was at St. Mary's, at Harvard.
Only two D1 wins.
And the other two are non-D1. They've lost at home to Coastal and to Tennessee Tech. And they're at Furman. They may be way over their head this weekend at Furman. Yeah,
right.
John, let me ask you about that. Other than that game with Winthrop at Furman, anything else sticking out for you here as I pull up the schedule for next week here in the Big South?
Well, at least you had, prior to that, Hampton at least winning one of their area rivalry games against Norfolk State. But if we're looking ahead, we had already mentioned Winthrop and Furman, Gardner-Webb going to Virginia Tech might be worth watching.
Maybe.
Could be. Also note that Radford-Duquesne game being played in a high school gym in Akron.
As opposed to the high school gym that on Duquesne's campus that's being renovated.
Right. Big West Conference, John. Riverside 7-3, but UCS, Santa Barbara, and UC Irvine were the kind of teams we liked heading into the season. I don't know if they're starting to turn things around or not, in your opinion.
Well, they've had, back-to-back wins against both Cal Baptist and Cal Lutheran. Mm-hmm. And then UC Davis, also a nice win themselves, but they've been kind of disappointing compared to where we thought they were going to finish preseason.
Yeah. Actually, Santa Barbara, road win at Arlington. Any road win's a solid win. So, maybe, David, this team is starting to play its way up. Take a quick look at what's coming up this week in the Big West. Santa Barbara at Southern Utah, and then they're at Idaho State. So, chance for two more road wins at least.
Yeah. So... yeah, I mean, Santa Barbara doing good. I've been impressed with the Bows a little bit, too, out in Hawaii.
Hosting Samford, who's got a hell of a trip to get out there to
yeah, the island. I know. they're just enjoying their Christmas break, I guess.
I guess so. The Colonial Athletic Association, those Fighting Blue Hens did suffer their first loss by 10 points to a pretty bad GW team.
That was pretty rough.
But they had a good weekend. Sunday and Tuesday were pretty good for the conference, including Hofstra's win that we already addressed.
Yeah. And William and Mary looking much better than expected and continuing to, getting another win on the road against a, well, not spectacular Failfield team, but still another road win.
That's another road win. So we look ahead in the Colonial Athletic Association this week. Delaware, huge week for the Fighting Blue Hens. First, they go up to Newark in the, I think it's the Never Forget Classic against Villanova.
It will not be classic. And you will want to forget it.
And then I'll be there Monday night when they take on Delaware State in their big in-state rivalry game.
Oh, wow.
We played on a neutral court in Wilmington,
actually. Will you be appearing live on the Hoops HD report?
I might be. We'll have to see how things work out.
All right, yes.
You also have a winnable game for William and Mary going to St. Joe's on Thursday.
Oh, the St. Joe's has not been a very good team at all. But the first they got to get by Goucher at home, Sleeka. No? Yeah. No comments at all on Goucher.
Yeah. Goucher.
Okay. Let's just go right to the Horizon League. And John, this is kind of in your neck of the woods here with Wright State and NKU. And looks like it's going to be those two teams again this year.
Yep. And Wright State had a disappointing week themselves where they end up splitting thanks to a home loss against Indiana State and a win earlier tonight against Southern. And NKU has also rebounded quite nicely since the home loss against Texas Southern and a missed opportunity at Arkansas. But at least this week, they do get the win against Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, and I just don't know if there's anybody even worth discussing, else worth discussing. This conference has been really kind of weak beyond those top two teams, David.
Yeah.
Coming up this week, at least we've got let's see here. We've got NKU is hosting Illinois State, while Wright State is hosting Mississippi Valley. So
that will not be fun.
DePaul at Cleveland State.
Yeah.
And hosting Illinois Chicago.
And how about those two former Summit League rivals, IUPUI in Fort Wayne, soon to be likely Horizon League rivals.
Uh-huh. And look at that, two in-state rivals, not that far apart, playing each other.
Yeah.
Unlike teams in San Antonio.
Right, and then how about that rivalry on the block? That game's not on the blacktop. There's no way. Michigan State, Oakland, they're playing
that. It's in Detroit, but it's not on the blacktop.
Right.
They do that every year, those two teams.
Yeah, they do.
Shall we talk a little bit about Yale, who picked up two more road wins this week at Lehigh and at UMass. I mean, I'm starting to pay a lot of attention here.
Yes, not one of the teams that we were super big on coming into the year, but clearly, like, when you compare them to the rest of the league, they've outperformed everybody. And is it even debatable? It's not that they have the best record. It's that their win quality is really good.
And then you also look at a team like Harvard, who's slowly starting to warm up themselves. Obviously, their chances for an at-large are going to be long gone, but he'll still be a contender for the Ivy League tournament this year.
Yeah.
They will. It's a very, very slow week at the Ivy League this week. Princeton and Iona on a neutral court Tuesday night. Not that's where that game's being played. I'll double check on that, but that's probably the most interesting game this week in the conference.
Probably is.
Or Hofstra-Ratchett. Princeton with three games while everybody else has the week off.
Yeah, and then how about Dartmouth hosting Central Connecticut? Are we going to dispense Lido Vecchio?
We should pass him to Dartmouth at BU also. We should send him both games.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Princeton-Iona game too while he's at it.
Right.
Metro Atlantic Conference time. And John, let me ask you about this, because last couple of years, this Metro Atlantic has been a conference we've just been holding our nose at during the non-conference season. We might have something to pay a little bit of attention to here at the top, don't we?
Well, it's a rare winning week for the Metro Atlantic, where they at least win five out of their eight non-conference games, and Monmouth also getting a win against Princeton, albeit not one of the better Princeton teams that we've seen recently.
A buzzer beating three there for Monmouth when that game at Princeton, and Princeton really had that game in the bag and just let it go.
And if you want to talk about area rivalries, look no further than the Battle of the Bronx, where Manhattan actually came out victorious. Mm-hmm.
But what about Ryder, David?
I think that they were one of the teams that we liked, but not – I think Iona was the one that we were big on the most, but Ryder been the most impressive so far there, as you see them there now.
They got that huge Vermont win. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, the win at Vermont, and that was a neutral floor win, and that was a game where they were pretty much – you got the sense that it wasn't really a fluke. Not that Vermont couldn't have played better, but they got that win, and then, their two losses – they're kind of forgivable. They're they were kind of swinging over their head, I think, in both of those. But, I mean, yeah, I like them more than anybody else I've seen so far.
Yeah, game at Temple, game at Wisconsin left. They got a little trouble in both of those, although neither one of those teams is playing that great right now. So,
yeah. Who knows? Wisconsin better not sleep. I mean, Greg Gard might get fired at halftime. If
they're it's in Madison, so Wisconsin shouldn't need to worry about that one.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you've seen Wisconsin play much recently. And, upcoming schedule here for this week in the Metro Atlantic, Riders hosting Long Island and
Marriott. Oh, no, the Sharks.
There's some. We are starting some conference play here. Actually, at least that Marist Rider game is a conference game.
Yeah, and if Marist, I mean, if Rider can win that one, they'll be in first place.
They will be. In fact, that's the only conference game. A little bit of a strange scheduling quirk there. Let's head over to the Mid-American Conference, which I think is top to bottom the best looking under the radar conference this out there so far this season.
For
maybe
sure.
By far.
Yeah, by far it is. No one's really slayed a giant yet. And that's one of the things, because like if you're anybody, whether you're under the radar or not, you kind of need
timeout. Buffalo slew DePaul.
They did.
Isn't that a giant?
Maybe slaying a half giant.
Okay.
I stand corrected. Yeah. I mean, and they did it on the road. So, you know, a great win for them. But I wasn't even thinking about Buffalo. But, you know, how about – well, let's start with Buffalo. You know, dropping their season opener to, I want to say it was Dartmouth, but since then winning 5 of 7, looking better and better and better, this totally, like, turned over roster. And then coming off of what really was – I don't mean this backhanded. That was a tough game to win, and they did it, and they looked really good in that game.
They did, and then you look at, I mean, in that division with them, Kent State, Akron, Bowling Green, I've seen mostly from all three of those teams. Yeah. I've liked what I've seen from Toledo down in the West, and you can't overlook Eastern Michigan's 8-1 record, even if it is against nobody.
Yeah.
It's still a solid, and there's no 306 strength of schedule, but
– right. But this is a league, and I realize that this isn't the best indicator, but, like, the RPI, and we'll see what the net is on the next show, but we've got three top 40-ish teams in there.
Yeah, and when you have this many teams that are all going to be quality teams, if one or two teams can pull away during conference play, we may have a shot for an at-large bid in this
league. Yeah, we would. A good example of that, as you pointed out last week, was Belmont.
Right, exactly. But I can really see it happening here just because you're not going to have too many games against garbage in conference play.
Yeah.
Upcoming schedule there's a lot of interesting games, including Stalica. You are highlighting a game that you want to talk about a little.
Yeah, this would be the Ohio Bobcats hosting a Big Ten team at home for the first time since 2001. But the only shame is attendance might be a little bit down because it's going to be a late tip at 9 o'clock, but then again, for the folks at Harvard on the Hocking, I don't think they're going to mind the long wait.
Oh, they won't.
Dave, one other game caught up next Wednesday. Canisius at Buffalo in a Big Four Buffalo area rivalry game. And you know what we got going on there, David?
What's that?
You know what's going on in that game?
Canisius, it's two teams from the same city playing each other.
Wow, what an amazing idea.
That is something.
Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference time, where we're seeing you know what? Maybe we should talk a little South Carolina State, actually. Two D1 wins this week, albeit both at home, but beating Presby and UNC Asheville.
Well, the fact that they played two non-conference games at home in the same week is a bit of an oddity.
And this is a South Carolina State program that was on the verge of extinction a few years ago. So
yeah, not the program, the institution. So, yeah. Like, very happy to see them doing well.
So I guess a shout-out to them. You know, we've got a few teams here without a D1 win yet, including Florida A&M. That's just 0-7 overall. And
And then, like, we've got the Centenary Watch going, Delaware State, who you'll be scouting the other night for the Centenary Award.
Yes, I will be definitely scouting them on the Centenary Award when they play Delaware. That game is coming up here this week. Bethune-Cookman, a little cross-country trip to Cal Baptist as well, coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, those are two teams that aren't in the same city, but they are playing each other.
Yes. Florida A&M coming out to Washington. They're playing Wazoo. So a little bit of holiday traveling going on here, I think. Missouri Valley Conference time. And just as a quick update here, as we record this, Northern Iowa is a big in the first half over Grand Canyon, already 9-1, and John looking to be 10-1 at the end of the night.
Yeah, Northern Iowa also coming off of a big win at Colorado, where they jumped out early. Colorado did manage to tie it late in the second half, but then a late shot with a minute remaining puts the Panthers up for good.
Yeah. The one game that Northern Iowa lost, as we look at their profile here, was a game that they sort of blew. They had a 15-point lead in that game, if I'm not mistaken, against West Virginia.
Down in
Cancun. And it just sort of whittled away. And, you know, I think the Colorado win, I think Colorado is going to end up being good enough for them to get a lot of credit for that. And that's the kind of win that you need to land inside the bubble, assuming that they're able to hold serve. Another nice win, Grand Canyon, while not off to the best start, this would be a nice road win on the resume to kind of at least corroborate what they've done. I do have a question for both of you, not to take over as host. Is Northern Iowa the best team in the state of Iowa? And I'm serious. Like, they may be.
From what I'm seeing tonight, I mean, the second best might be Drake. So, hey.
Yeah.
But there's only four in the state. Iowa, and Iowa State's getting blasted as we record this against Iowa, a game that is not under the radar. But I'm not seeing much. I'm really not seeing anything great otherwise out of the Missouri Valley. You know, Evansville with the huge win at Kentucky. But
yeah,
a couple of disappointing losses after that. So.
Right. So, yeah, Evansville beats Kentucky, then loses at home to SMU, and then goes down to whatever that ridiculous, like, ballroom was that they were playing in. Loses 2 out of 3, barely wins the third. Yeah. But since coming back from that, you know, they have had a little bit of bounce back here with 3 straight wins.
They picked up a win over Miami of Ohio this past week. They're at Green Bay and at Jacksonville State in an interesting game. Not a bad Jacksonville State team. Salika, anything else you're looking forward to this week in these games here?
Another NAIA shout-out to our friends at Mount Marty who are going to be visiting Drake on Tuesday.
Mount Marty at Drake. Let me stick with you and ask you about the Northeast Conference then, John.
Yeah, that's not a bad week here for the Northeast. Another case where they actually finished a little bit above 500 here. Robert Morris getting a win at Florida Gulf Coast, which used to be a highlight, but Gulf Coast has fallen off the radar a bit. Bryant also gets a couple wins, one against Columbia and another against the Fordham team that's now coming back to earth.
Well, David, he missed the most important game of the week, though.
Yes.
You want to talk about what is going on with this transitional team here in red?
Yeah, how about them? A transitional team outperforming most of the rest of the conference and getting yet another big win you see there.
Knocking off Army, yeah.
Yeah, knocking off Army. Now, I don't – you know, we've seen transitional teams struggle. Savannah State was 7-79 in their 4 years as a transitional school. I want to say NJIT went through a stretch. They've since had success, but where they lost 51 games in a row.
Yep.
But when we look at some of the teams that have come up recently – Grand Canyon, Cal Baptist, and now Merrimack. I don't really have a theory. Is it all of a sudden easier now than it was? Because when North Dakota State under
they did make it tougher to transition up, and that maybe that's one of the things. That's one of the things that's benefiting these teams as they move up now.
But yeah, by the same token, you also had a team that won the Northeast 10 last year down in Division II, albeit against much different competition.
Right. It could be that these teams are a little better. It could be. I really don't like the 4 years of probation. I think it should be 2. I think 2 is enough of a transitional period, but they don't ask what I think. It's 4 years. But
I'll tell you what I would throw in there also, and it probably would never matter, but – okay, while you're transitioning, you're not eligible for an automatic bid. Let you be eligible for an at-large bid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to happen. Merrimack is not going to be at-large quality worth. But had they won every game on the schedule, they could have had a shot.
Right. And I mean, and we kind of went through this with Grand Canyon, too. Mm-hmm. By year 2 or year 3, they were a D1 caliber team by far. Like, so why continue to make them transition? Mm-hmm. What is the logic and why it needs to be 4 years? When North Dakota State came up, and they had that year where they won at Wisconsin, and I think they beat somebody else, and or was it Marquette? Or maybe it was both. and won 21 games, I remember thinking, oh, my God, how in the hell does that even happen? Who is this coach? I'm not going to go off on that tangent. It was Tim Miles. But I just remember thinking that no transitional team would ever be able to do that again. And now we're seeing teams, while not beating ranked teams, perform at a really high level as transitional teams. And when Bellarmine comes up next year, they're ranked number one in Division II right now. I mean, are they going to be able to compete and win at the D1 level right away?
John, upcoming schedule in the Northeast. How about this Franciscan battle here we have coming up Tuesday night?
Yep, that would be the Franciscan University of Steubenville against nearby St. Francis, PA.
Wait, nearby schools playing each other?
Oh, wow.
Well, they're not within the same city, but within at least the same part of, shall we say, the Pennsylvania Turnpike area.
Ohio Valley Conference, nobody's really stood out here too much. I mean, Belmont did get the sweep in the Battle of the Boulevard against Lipscomb, but that's probably why their record is the best of the conference. But
yeah, and it's, you know, kind of come back down to earth. Last year, this team had an at-large team. They had another very good team in Murray State, and they had two other, Austin Peay and Jack State, were both really good this year. This year, no one is even 14 or 15. Well, I'm thinking this is a 14-15 seedish conference. What about you?
I agree with you. The team that I still like, and I know when Rocco was on with us last week, he mentioned them also. I'm keeping an eye on this Tennessee State team. I've seen a couple little signs of life out of them. They've got a trip to Fordham coming up on Sunday and then a trip to Indiana State coming up middle of next week. But who knows? Maybe that's a team to keep an eye on this season.
Yep, and if you're also a fan of underappreciated rivalries, also keep an eye on Marshall and Moorhead on Monday night.
Yeah, I think – is this like the 103rd or 102nd? They've played each other a ton of times, which is odd. They're not a conference opponent. So,
and it's they're only about 50 or 60 miles apart.
Really? How far apart are Duke and North Carolina?
How far apart are Incarnate Word and UTSA? Patriot League, John. Another conference that doesn't really get going until we get into conference play. So when you look at the Patriot League here, I don't know if there's anything that really stood out this week to you.
Not for the right reasons, but Holy Cross, they
You're right. We got to talk about the Massachusetts Boston Beacons. Go ahead.
Yeah, Holy Cross is making a big case, at least as far as their centenary award chances, because they did the impossible, and that was lose to D3, the Beacons of UMass Boston, who would actually
–
D3, no scholarships, a D3 team that was a mediocre D3 team, not a team that is going to be having a chance to win the
record in
D3. Yeah. David, this Holy Cross team is bad. I mean, really bad.
This is a place that had a rich basketball tradition.
They've won a national championship.
Very, very successful. Yeah. You know, NCAA tournament regulars, just a really good under the radar program that's really hit a skid.
Things are not going very well in Holy Cross. Week ahead here, they've got a trip to Canisius. I think they're going to lose by about 100.
Yeah.
I guess the only other game that's not on the list there coming up, of course, Saturday, Army and Navy playing each other. It's just in a different sport.
Yeah, always a fun one in that one. Colgate, still we think one of the conference front runners going to a Cincinnati team that has looked awful all year long. So I don't think they beat Cincinnati, but Cincinnati better not overlook them.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Meanwhile, those are probably going to be the only 14 or 15 Army students that aren't going to be marching on the field for the Army Navy game.
That always bugged me. Like, this is the third or fourth year in a row that they played a basketball game during the football game. It's, what are you doing?
Let's take a look over at the SOCOM, where we have East Tennessee State, we have UNC Greensboro, we have Furman that we've liked so far, Wofford, who was there last year, hasn't really been there this year, and even Western Carolina sitting at 6-2.
Yeah, kind of a surprise team. Yeah, and I know that Western Carolina's schedule hasn't been the best, but it hasn't been the worst either. Not expecting much out of them at all, but showing us quite a bit so far.
Yeah,
well, they matched their win total from last year already, just getting up to at least 61 wins.
And you see what this conference is doing. Even a team like Chattanooga, who I expect to finish near the bottom of this conference, gave Vatek a game the other night. So it's this conference is going to be a very tough conference, and I would not be surprised to see one or two of these teams in the at-large bid discussion like Greensboro was last year.
Right, and Greensboro there, and then, like, Wofford was in the top half of the bracket. They were four lines inside the bubble. So,
And we've got the huge week ahead. We already mentioned the Greensboro-Vermont game, but we've got Winthrop at Furman. We've got Wofford at North Carolina coming up. We've got, what else do we have here? Alabama at Samford, actually, coming up on Wednesday. So, Samford, after a trip to Hawaii on Sunday, comes back home to host Alabama on Wednesday. That's a heck of a week.
Right, yeah. I don't think that game's on campus, Chad. I think it's in the downtown BJCC, but Samford is the host team. So. Right.
And Wofford, a great week at Carolina, at Duke. How far apart are those two schools again?
I don't know. I have to look.
Okay. John, let me ask you about the Southland Conference, where we have one of the top under-the-radar teams following their win over at their own win at Duke, the SFA Lumberjacks.
Yeah, we were wondering if SFA was going to be a one-trick pony, but so far that doesn't seem to be the case. A loss at Alabama could have been forgiven, but other than that, not much, since SFA is going to have their exams this week.
Yeah, I don't fault them too much. I mean, it would have been great to see them pick up that game, but you can't fault them too much.
No, but, I mean, as good as SFA is a fantastic defensive team, they just suffocate you. But sometimes they just can't get it going. In that Alabama game, I was so certain they were going to win that one. But, anyway.
We've got – they're hosting Louisiana Monroe as well as Houston Baptist. Interesting, Houston Baptist, keep an eye on this team, 0-7, but – look at that number one tempo in the entire nation. Very a fun pace of schedule, fun type of game there.
Yeah.
And they're going to have an interesting conference game against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, who is number 346.
Yes. Real good year for the Southland here. We got 13 teams and 6 of them close to half without a D1 win yet.
It's SFA and no one. Yeah.
If you want to have some fun at your company's holiday party this weekend, take this upcoming schedule and say D1 or non-D1 as you read down the list of those schools.
Wiley, Williams Baptist, Houston Paul Baptist. Quinn, an Incarnate Word, who guess who they don't play?
Yeah, they don't play UTSA. Wow.
SWAC time. And there's a SWAC, and you know what? I think we've hit our 10 D1 wins, haven't we?
Yeah, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, that's our over-under for the season.
So, and
it's not even, it's mid-December, Chad.
We still have it. We could get the over on the over-under of 10 D1 non-conference wins for the league here. Grambling, another road win at Louisiana Monroe. 5-5 overall, which you'd never see in this conference.
Yeah.
3-91, but still 5-5 overall.
Yeah. Alabama A&M, I don't know if they ever actually won the Centenary Award, but for 3 or 4 years, they were one of the four worst teams in the country, arguably the worst overall program, even if they didn't actually win the Centenary. Going to Jack State, a team that was really good last year, and getting the win. Just how about that one, Chad?
And just for a quick note here, Alabama A&M was our 2017 Centenary Award winning team. So they did pick up one Centenary Award here for the worst team in D1. And Jack State, I think it might be more of an indictment on Jack State than anything else, unfortunately.
Right.
But upcoming schedule in the SWAC as we look for that win number 11. Let's see here. Alabama A&M at Miami, David. Want to go that way?
No.
Alcorn State at Tulane.
No.
Grambling at Marquette.
No.
Texas Southern at Nevada. Southern at Cal Baptist.
Jackson
State at Portland, maybe?
Jack State at Portland. The other Jack State.
Jackson State, not Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson
State. Bill State.
Yeah.
The better Jack's State.
Yeah.
Summit League, John, where the Yotes have kind of come a little bit back down, although I guess they did beat Alabama State this week.
Yeah, we're not going to mention that other NAI team that was already mentioned, but North Dakota State was actually the team that had the best win this week, getting a home win against East Tennessee State.
Yeah, and then following up with a win at Cal State Northridge. So North Dakota State always makes a lot of noise in this conference. I think they're about ready to start making their noise again this year, it looks like. But, David, the upcoming schedule here in the Summit League, we got North Dakota State's game is, let's see, where are they in there? They're hosting Montana State.
That's,
We have that huge win at Greensboro earlier this season. It's a little game there.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. We've got a front range game.
We do.
Yes, Air Force at Denver. We love the front range.
And then Denver at Northern Colorado.
Oh, what a week. Wow.
We got major front range games. What is this? These are schools that are near each other that play each other, right?
They play each other, yeah. And sadly, the two on-the-radar schools, Colorado and Colorado State, I think have opted out of playing the full front range schedule. They used to.
They actually play each other tomorrow night, though. So.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
That is on the radar, so we can't discuss it. John, over in the Sun Belt Conference, you want to discuss a lot of red, maybe too much red on the screen there this week.
Yeah, it's going to be slightly above red and is also going to be 5 wins, at least as far as D1 competition goes. So Arkansas State, at least winning at an American school for the first time, getting the win at Tulsa. But then again, they follow that up with a road loss at Missouri State. So kind of a mixed bag for the Red Wolves.
Yeah, I'm not seeing much out of this conference yet, though, David. I don't know if there's something that you're really looking at.
Not really, no. I mean, it seems to be heading for the 14-15-ish type of line. Arkansas State's had some moments, but not when they've actually been tested. So,
all right, and there's the upcoming schedule. We already mentioned that Louisiana Monroe at SFA game, maybe the game to circle there. And we see some conference play coming in here getting next week. I think this conference is going to a 20-game conference schedule like so many other leagues have.
Not a fan, but
Let's go to our last conference of the night. It is the Western Athletic Conference, where another transitional team is on the top of the standings there, Cal Baptist at 5-4 overall.
Yeah, New Mexico State still just can't get healthy. They keep saying that they're going to, but they haven't really done it yet, and there's just nothing at all, like, exciting. I would say that I would be excited about Chicago State at 4-7, but 3 of those are non-D1 wins. Still one of the probably 20 worst programs in the country, despite having all new players.
California Baptist some credit for winning at Irvine over the weekend, although Irvine not up to their usual high standard, at least as far as being in the big, at least one of the better Big West teams.
Yeah, Cal Baptist should be able to pick up 2 more wins this week, hosting Bethune-Cookman and Southern. New Mexico State's only game is against Pine Bluff.
Yeah,
I don't know what else to really mention in this league. I guess New Mexico State. I'm sorry, New Mexico State also has their trip to New Mexico on Saturday, their second game of that series. So that is a big one circle.
Yeah, that one's fun. That one's going to be. I mean, that's a brutal rivalry. So,
on that note, let's jump over to top 10 lists.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Here's our under the Hoops HD.
Lots of mention.
Honorable mentions here. A bunch of them. Our colleague Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org did vote this week as well, even though he wasn't able to make it onto the show. But Buffalo, Rider, Akron, Delaware, Western Carolina, Eastern Michigan, and Toledo all getting at least one vote.
Yeah.
But in the top 10 themselves, that coming in at number 10, we have the Furman Paladins.
Mm-hmm. Good team. Where would they be had they held on to win that game against Auburn?
At number nine, I did not agree with this, but you guys all had them on there, Louisiana Tech. When Mississippi State was good, the San Jose State loss was bad, but they did make our top 10.
I'll admit I didn't have La Tech on there, but the Puppet and Rocco must have had them quite high.
I didn't have them exceptionally high.
Bowling Green making the list here Bowling at number Green, 8. Yeah. Number 8. And at number 7, we've got Yale.
I had Yale in mind, but not that high. Good for Yale.
Tie for 5th place between Kent State and East Tennessee State. So a MAC school and one of those really good SoCon schools that we talked about coming in there at number 5. Mm-hmm. Number 4, we've got UNC Greensboro. That gets the highest rate of those SoCon schools.
Yeah, and the 3rd one in the top 10.
Yeah, Stephen F. Austin coming in at number 3. Yeah, Alabama loss.
Yep.
And at number two, we've got Northern Iowa, who is about to pick up yet another win. They're up 43-26 at halftime on the road in Grand Canyon.
Very good Northern Iowa team.
This Northern Iowa team may be number one. Not even if the number one team doesn't lose a game, that's how good I like the way this Northern Iowa team is going.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, especially after seeing them tonight. What a week Northern Iowa's having, assuming they hold on.
Yeah,
and then Liberty, still number one.
Number one because they're undefeated. Yeah.
And I did have Northern Iowa actually number one of my under the radar ballot because I'm not positive that Liberty is going to end up winning at either Vanderbilt or LSU, which they probably need to stay number one.
If they lose at LSU, I can forgive them. But Vanderbilt is not a good team. If Liberty needs to win there, if they're as good, because to Stalika's credit, Liberty's credentials are weaker than just about everybody that we've ranked. I'm ranking them based on how good I think they are, not how good their paper is.
Right. I like them probably the most or among the top of all the under-the-radar schools heading into the season. They haven't lost a game. I had them a very close one over Northern Iowa, too, as well. But I could easily be persuaded that I was wrong in that ranking.
Yeah.
On that note, though, let me go ahead and pull this down here, and let's run through any other final thoughts for the night. And, John, why don't I start with you?
Well, we kind of teased it Monday night where we had mentioned the Skip Prosser Classic was meant to include Wake Forest and Xavier. But this year, at least as a one-time thing, Xavier will be hosting Western Carolina in the Skip Prosser Classic Part 2, and that would be because – Mark Prosser, which is one of Skip Prosser's sons, is actually coaching at Western Carolina this year. So we'd already mentioned the Catamounts is one of the pleasant surprises in the SoCon. So that should be a game worth watching next week.
Absolutely. Keep an eye on that one, although I think I can already tell you what the result's going to be.
Right.
David?
It's just interesting, and again, like you know, to kind of recap what we have, you have Northern Iowa, who could really, really run away from the Missouri Valley and post 27-28 wins. And as we saw from Wofford last year, like if they keep this up to late January, early to mid-February, do they crack the rankings? Does Liberty get in there by default if they run through the gauntlet and only have one or two losses? And, you know, and then you have so you got two teams that are going to get really big records, and that tends to eventually get the attention of the voters. And then on the other side of that, you have the MAC that we talked about, like a lot of good profiles coming in. Will that allow somebody to kind of run away from it? And then in the same thing in the SoCon with those three teams. So is the path being paved for more teams to land on the bubble or in the bubble than what we typically see?
I think you could be right there. Even though we're not seeing anybody other than Liberty, anybody getting any top 25 love so far, I think it could be heading that way.
Yeah.
But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us here. On behalf of David Griggs, John Stalika, I'm Chad Sherwood. This show has been brought for you by the battle for the Alamo between Incarnate Word and Texas San Antonio, coming soon.
We hope.
We hope. But thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon. And I can't seem to stop the podcast.